The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to mention two divorce attorneys, and they're in different states and they're both so wonderful. The first one is Arden A. Fox, who is a divorce attorney and founder of her practice, Fox Law Group, based out of Arizona. And Arden A. currently accepts family law, juvenile, and adoption cases. She's committed to providing high-quality legal representation to her clients and has dedicated her practice to supporting families through the most challenging times of their lives. Arden A. has served in the past as an assistant attorney general representing the Arizona Department of Child Safety in dependency, guardianship, termination of parental rights, and adoption matters. Arden A. is so impressive, and she's such a wonderful, warm, compassionate person, and really, really smart. If you want to learn more about Arden A., you can visit her at her website, which is foxlawgroupaz.com. I also want to talk about divorce attorney Jason Tuckman, who is with Kelly Kelly Murata and Tuckman in New Jersey. And Jason, this is very interesting. He was 5 years old when his parents divorced, and he remembers that it was a traumatic experience. And that was the passion that led him to doing what he is doing now. So he has been a divorce attorney for over 20 years, and he believes he can help people in one of the most difficult times of their lives. And I really have so enjoyed getting to know Jason. He's professional, he's compassionate, very experienced, and cares a lot. If you want to learn more about Jason, you can find him at kkmtlegal.com, or you can find both Jason and Arden A. in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girl Smiling. So when I was getting divorced, I had so many questions, and I went into my first consultation with a divorce attorney, and honestly, I didn't even know what to ask. That's how many questions I had. I wasn't familiar with the terms discovery, petition, some of the other ones, you know, no fault. I mean, I didn't even know what I was doing. I had never been in a lawsuit. I had never been to court except for jury duty. And so I really was lost. And so I thought I would dedicate this podcast episode to just answering questions about divorce. And who better to do that with than divorce attorney Turner Thornton? Turner is a Fort Worth-based attorney with the firm Varghese Somerset Family Law, and Turner is a partner, and he heads up that division. And Turner, hi.
Hey, Jackie. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you. I think this is our third podcast that we've done together.
I think third or fourth, but I would take your word.
Really? Okay. I think it's the third or fourth, but I just want to tell my listeners, Turner is a wonderful attorney. He is extremely well-respected, well-known in Fort Worth, Dallas area. And Turner, do you agree with me that when people walk in to have a consult with you, they don't even really know what to ask?
100%. And I'll echo the sentiment that you said, that it's very scary because this is most likely the first time that you're talking to a stranger about the deepest, darkest secrets that you have in your personal life. So in my opinion, the client journey, if you would, starts as soon as you pick up the phone and decide who you're going to call to even hire. So more often than not, I tell folks, do your own independent research, look around, look at various law firms, try to get a feel for who the lawyers are and what their firm culture is. I think it's really important, even for the folks that at our firm answer the phone, to kind of give a groundwork about what to expect in the consultation process. Now, Jackie, I would tell you, because I've done this, I think, for so long, at this point, it is throw it on automatic and go. But going into it, if anything, it may help the client or potential clients come in with a handful of questions, maybe a checklist to make sure that they have some preliminary facts to give the lawyer a better idea of their case, because in my opinion, it will help the lawyer walk through not only the law, but the roadmap to get you from A to B, really depending on what the client's goals are.
Well, I love that. And when people come in and they don't even know what to ask, like, I'm not a divorce attorney, but I have a lot of consultations with divorced women and men because I offer the free consult on Divorce Girl Smiling. Anybody can call me and have a 30-minute consult. And what I say is, just tell me about your situation. And I just listen. And I think that a good divorce attorney would just listen for a while and just let them rant, let them vent, let them tell you what is going on. And then you can uncover what they need and see if it's the right fit. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. The way that I handle my individual consults, number one, I think it's important to set an agenda because you need to know our consults are an hour, what to expect within that hour. So more often than not, I walk them through how I expect this meeting to go. First and foremost, give me the 10, 15, 20 minute version of your side of the facts. I understand that there's always two sides to every story, but at the same time, it will help me get a glimpse into your thought process as a potential litigant, what's important to you, how you view the situation, and even internalize to me what I believe your priorities are. If you're going through a 20-minute conversation with effectively a stranger about your personal life, I'm going to try to pick out, does this person care more about possession time with their kiddos? Are they making sure, no matter what, they're continually coming back to financial stability long-term? Walk me through how we got from assumingly a happily married couple, potentially having a handful of kids, to coming into my office to talk about where to go from here. So in my opinion, I think more than anything, give your truth in the way that you see it. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to go the way in court that we hope, but at the same time, it will help me better understand the client's thought process so I can better hopefully achieve their goals as the process moves forward.
So I'm just going to run through a few of these questions, Turner, and ask you, and then you can just answer them, because I think this is important for people who are considering divorce and want to go for a consultation, or people who just started the process or are in the middle of it and have some additional questions, because you always have questions no matter where you are, you know, throughout the process and even after. All right. So the first one is, how do I file for divorce? Like, when I went into my consultation, I didn't even know what filing meant. I mean, really, I didn't even know what that entailed.
Absolutely. So the first step to really get the ball rolling in any divorce process, but specifically here in the state of Texas, is to file an original petition for divorce. The way that I explain it to clients is that document outlines, generally speaking, to the court what you're hoping to do in this case. Specifically for Texas, you'll outline who the parties are, so inclusive of yourself, your spouse, your kiddos if you have them, that you are checking the box for jurisdiction. Here in Texas, that means you've been a resident for 6 months and in the county in which you're trying to file for at least 90 days. The original petition, beyond talking about where you live and who you are, will walk through the things that you're specifically requesting the court to do. So for conservatorship, which is just Texas word for custody, are you going to be a joint managing conservator? So generally speaking, you have the same ability to make decisions for your children as your soon-to-be ex-spouse. Or are you going to be a sole managing conservator? Are you wanting the vast majority of those decisions to be unilaterally by you? You'll talk specifically about the possession you want to have, if you believe child support should be ordered, and how you're going to handle insurance for the kiddos moving forward. I will tell you, Jackie, from personal experience, I typically tell clients it's best to convey how you plan on handling the case within the context of your petition. And what I mean by that is an original petition for divorce is likely the first document that your spouse and eventually soon to be ex-spouse is going to read about this divorce process. It's going to convey not only direct information about what you're asking, but indirectly how you plan to litigate this case. You have the ability to make the petition as generic or even as much as I'd say agreed to as possible. If you file that original petition for divorce and it's got a lot of teeth and it's making allegations of adultery or drug use or that temporary orders need to be in place, while the case is pending because of some bad behavior of your spouse, the person is going to read that document and think that they're about to have their life set on fire. So I think it's incredibly important when talking to clients about the original petition for divorce to understand that it's not just asking the court to do something, but it's conveying to the other side how you anticipate this process is going to be handled.
Okay, I love so much that you just said that because that happened to me in my divorce. And so what you're telling me, this is why I think Turner is a great lawyer. Because when somebody has this document, you go over it with the client and say, here's what your spouse is going to be reading. So I just want to make sure that you're on board with this because my divorce attorney did not do that. I'm not saying he wasn't a good attorney, but it was a different time back then. It was 2008 and it was sort of like, I'll take care of it. And so I didn't closely read what was being sent to my ex, soon to be ex. And he was livid when he got some of these things. And I was thinking, what did I do? I didn't even, you know, my attorney did it, but it's coming from you, like Turner said. And so that's why it's really important that you have an attorney who's going to keep you in the loop and get you educated and empowered so that you know exactly what your spouse and his lawyer is seeing.
Jackie, if I can add to that, one of the, I will say, generic requests within an original petition for divorce is attorney's fees. And as you would assume, that tends to be a big trigger on the other side, whoever it is, husband or wife. It can be as agreed as possible throughout the body of the petition. But if at the bottom it's requesting the other spouse to pay their attorney's fees, all hell breaks loose. Oh my gosh, you think I'm going to pay for this? I don't want this. You want this. And it just devolves from there. So it's not just simply, how do you plan on handling the kids moving forward? How do we plan on dividing up our stuff? But also, who's going to pay for this?
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm here today talking questions about divorce and answers, and I'm here with divorce attorney Turner Thornton, who is a partner at Varghese Somerset Family Law Group out of Fort Worth, Texas. And Turner and I are going to take a short break. When we come back, we have answers to so many other questions that I think you're really going to want to know. We'll be right back. Thinking about divorce, going through a divorce, or being a single parent after divorce can feel like a hectic, stressful, and precarious time. Self-esteem is most likely suffering, and it's hard to stop the stress and just slow down. And you might just be trying to get everything off your to-do list before you can think about getting help and figure out what you want your new life to look like. That is where Brittany Baker, LCSW, and therapist comes in. Brittany is wonderful. She works with couples, adults, and teens during hard, stressful times of change, including divorce. Love Brittany. I think she's really experienced and very warm and compassionate. If you want to learn more, you can find Brittany at nixbakerwellness.com, and that's nixbakerwellness.com. I also want to talk about divorce coach and life strategist Michelle Heffron. So fear, doubt, and self-sabotage are three things that divorcing women are prone to. And Michelle feels like she felt that way when she was going through her divorce. And she said that she wishes she'd have had an opportunity to work with a life coach to help overcome these emotions and get back on track in life. So that is her passion behind what she does. And Michelle is so wonderful. What I love so much about her is her story. She has really lived the demographic of the people that she is helping. So if you want to learn more about Michelle, you can find her at michelleheffron.com, which is one L in Michelle, two Fs in Heffron, michelleheffron.com. And you can find both Michelle and Brittany in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girls Smiling. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. And I'm here today with Turner Thornton, who is a partner with Varghese Somerset Family Law Group in Fort Worth, Texas. And we are talking questions and answers about divorce. Turner, the next question I want to ask you is, what is a no-fault divorce, and are there grounds for divorce?
So in Texas, the default typically is that there is a no-fault divorce assumption, meaning if you want a divorce, you're entitled to it. The spouse can't necessarily stop it one way or the other. They may be able to slow it down as far as the process is concerned, but if you want a divorce, you're going to get it. Here in Texas, the legal term of art we use is called insupportability, which is just fancy legal speak for it didn't work out. Now, you have the ability to request, or I should say plead for, grounds in the divorce and say, because of this other person's behavior, I have no other choice but to file. Here in Texas, that often includes things like adultery, that includes possible felony conviction, cruel treatment, which is touch and go depending on who you ask, or possibly even living apart. So similar to what I said before, if the goal of the possible litigant is to try to go through this process with as little confrontation as possible, my suggestion more often than not is simply plead for insupportability on the front end. At least here in Texas, you have the ability to amend your pleadings as you go and understand that ultimately this is all public record. If you've got kiddos and your spouse has been doing a bunch of things that you disapprove of, do you really want it in a public record to air out your dirty laundry and for your child one day to be able to read exactly what went down in your divorce? Maybe is the short answer, depending on the situation. But it's really important for litigants to know, even if you have gone through some really tough times, it may not necessarily be in the best interest of your children to plead for it, because you still have the ability to settle your case, get the possible benefit of the reason you were filing for divorce in the first place without having it be specifically pled for on paper. I will use the example of if you're pleading for a specific ground for divorce, here in Texas, you can ask for what's called a disproportionate share of the community estate, which is, again, fancy legal speak for more than 50% of the stuff. You have a burden as the person asking for more than 50% to tell the judge why exactly that should happen. Do you really want to get into the nuts and bolts of it in your pleading? Yeah. Maybe, but again, if your goal is to try to settle this case without a lot of animosity and hopefully with a good working relationship with the co-parent moving forward, it may not be best to do that on the front end.
Okay, now I have a couple questions, but first I want to say what you just said about wanting the judge to know. Don't you feel like people just do that because they want to feel validated? They're angry, they're resentful, and so they want the judge to know that what he did or what she did. And most times, like you said, Turner, do you really want that in the public record? And also, does the judge really care? And so really, you're wasting a lot of time and money, and maybe you're wasting the opportunity to be able to mediate your divorce instead of litigate, and you'll get a better outcome. So I want my listeners to know the reason I brought that up is we know how frustrated you are at your ex. We know you're angry. We know there was injustice. He cheated, or he's a big drinker, or he abused you. We understand how you feel. I personally understand those feelings of frustration, but you have to really ask yourself, is it better to tell a judge and cite these reasons in the public record, or just get out of it and get the best business deal you possibly can?
Absolutely. And I'll add to that, you need to tell your attorney, or you need your attorney to understand exactly what you're buying from them. Are you buying from them the ability to watch your spouse be cross-examined about their bad behavior? Because if you are, you're able to do that, but it lives in a different universe than potentially mediating on the front end and trying to keep costs for litigation down. If your goal is ultimately to not just necessarily get the best deal possible, I think that's everyone's goal, but potentially get that best deal possible without a bunch of contentious, nasty litigation where you're getting all up in everybody's business, you're having exhibits presented to the court, you're having witnesses come in and, you know, air out he's a good dad, he's a bad dad, whatever it may be. The goal of that process, technically speaking, is for the judge to have a better understanding so that judge can make a decision in what the judge believes is in the best interest of your kiddos if their children are involved. If not, if what you're seeking is simply vindication or validation, rather, of your spouse's bad behavior, I will speak specifically for the DFW Metroplex. They hear those stories all day, every day. the likelihood that it will have as big of an impact on your case as you think it should, unfortunately, that's not always the case. Now, if there's been family violence involved or things of that nature, I may have a different answer. But the vast majority of issues that are brought before the divorce courts here, unfortunately, to the judge, they're a dime a dozen.
The other question I had for you is, are most states no-fault states?
I will always initially answer and say I'm only a Texas attorney, so I will only apply Texas law. My understanding is that the vast majority of states aren't requiring fault to be included. Now, I won't get into recent legislative updates for various jurisdictions where they're almost requiring that one parent be at fault or rather one spouse be at fault. Without getting too far political, I would say I don't know whose purpose that's serving. Because ultimately, if the goal here is to have functioning and hopefully positive co-working, or I should say co-parenting relationships with one another, adding in a mandatory fault divorce, to me, just seems like you're adding gasoline to a potential fire.
All right. I want to move on and ask you, it's related to what we're talking about, but you sort of said this, but I want you to give me a list if you can. So it seems to me that you're the kind of attorney that would favor mediation if possible, but it's not always possible to have your case go through mediation as a divorce process. In what cases is litigation almost always necessary?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is if the kids are in immediate danger. So for example, if you have opposing party that either has drug problems or has been violent, not just to your client, but potentially the kids or to society at large, in my opinion, almost no matter what, it's likely that you need to air those grievances before the judge. So I'm going to kind of speak out of both sides of my mouth like any good divorce lawyer would do. While it's important to, in my opinion, keep things out of court if possible, sometimes it is incredibly important for the safety of my client and for the children to get it before the judge as quickly as possible. Here in Texas, on an original petition for divorce, if you're going to claim that your children are in immediate danger, that's going to require what's called a petitioner's supporting affidavit, which is just fancy legal speak for your story written out before a notary that's attached to your petition for divorce, because you're going to go tell the judge, "Judge, my kids and I are in danger and we need immediate assistance." If you don't do that at the time that you're claiming that there's some sort of danger, it's hard to bring that up later in the case because the judge is going to assume, well, if it was that big of a deal, why didn't you bring it to me earlier, right? So I think it's incredibly important. Again, I'll circle back to what I said earlier. You always need to be honest with your lawyer. You need to tell them what your goals are and what you believe is in your children's best interest, not just long-term, but in the immediate future. And if you're coming in my office and saying, "I'm not safe," well, my answer is going to be, "Get the heck out of there. We'll figure out the details later."
Okay, this is very important for people listening. You have to be upfront and honest with your attorney from day one, because as Turner said, if you try to bring it up later, it doesn't have as much credibility and the judge or anybody might think you were just doing it because you're angry or for another reason. So, Turner, I think you hit it on the head, like abuse, addiction, anything where your safety and or your kid's safety is involved has to be brought up on day one immediately. So very, very important point. And absolutely, I know it's not easy. And Turner, people might come into your office and be afraid to bring it up. Somebody who's been abused might be really afraid that something's going to happen if they tell somebody. But it is imperative that you tell your divorce lawyer that something is going on.
Absolutely. And to that end, Jackie, ultimately, it's the litigant's life. If they decide that they don't want to go through that process because they're either scared of their spouse, they're nervous of what their friends or society may think of them, I understand that. I don't view my job as forcing somebody to do something they don't want to do. But I think it's important that that person is educated about their options. And ultimately, if what their goal is to keep their children safe in this hypothetical example, well, in my personal opinion, the only way you can do that is by removing the problem. And removing the problem in this instance, maybe you and your children getting out of the house, maybe your spouse getting out of the house, whatever it may be. I typically tell folks in this particular instance, I would rather you call the cops than call me if something's going down, because 100%. There's only so much I can do.
Yes. And a lot of times that might be what happens. You end up telling people, I think you should call this number. Here's a domestic violence number, or the cops, or both, or whatever needs to be done. Really, really important. All right. Another question people have is, can I record conversations with my ex without their knowledge?
So that one is very tricky. I will speak specifically to Texas and tell folks, more often than not, if you're recording a conversation with your spouse, make sure you're within the same state lines. Things get very hairy when you start recording conversation over state lines. So let's say, for example, two folks are living in Texas and something goes down and now mom or dad have left to Oklahoma. Okay, well, now what? If you're going to be recording that conversation and it's over state lines, you need to be telling that person that they are being recorded. At least here in Texas, if you're within the state boundary, then you should be good to go. You don't necessarily have to give them a heads up that this conversation is being recorded. You always want to avoid any sort of federal wiretapping issue. And while I'm not a criminal lawyer, my wife is, you don't want to be dealing with her while also dealing with me.
Okay, so you can record whatever you want, but you can't use it unless you tell the person that you're recording. But in Texas, you can. But other states, you may not be able to.
I will always defer to speaking to a lawyer in your jurisdiction, wherever you may live, about what that specific state's laws are. I typically tell my clients, at least as far as Texas is concerned, if you want to record a conversation you're having in person or over the phone, generally speaking, that should be okay. But be mindful of where that person is located. If you're having a conversation one-on-one with someone face-to-face, in Texas, at least, you should be good to go. If that conversation is happening over the phone, or even like us over Zoom, and the other person doesn't know it's being recorded, that can become an issue.
Next question, how can I keep my spouse from spending money or hiding assets during the divorce process? Well, that's two totally different things.
The real answer is it's tricky. At least here in Texas, and I'll speak specifically to Tarrant County, where I'm located in Fort Worth, we don't have what's called a standing order. A standing order for most jurisdictions is something that's applied as soon as a case is filed. So let's say, for example, you're in Houston, which is Harris County here in Texas, and you file an original petition for divorce. And that jurisdiction has a standing order that specifically says, as soon as this divorce petition is filed, all of these injunctions are put in place. And injunctions, again, are just fancy legal speak for rules to live under while your case is pending.
Okay.
Examples I usually use are, don't sell your boat to your best friend for a dollar. Don't withdraw the children from school that they're currently enrolled in, things like that. So through the divorce process, we have the ability to find out that information specifically through discovery. I will tell clients, especially during the original consultation, it's prohibitively difficult for us to do anything on the front end. If there's not a standing order in place, we may have to ask for what's called a temporary restraining order, which sounds a lot scarier than it is. But again, it's rules to live under while your case is pending. It is prohibitions against specific behaviors so that not only are the children protected, but the community estate is protected as well. Unfortunately for us, at least in my opinion, a lot of it is going to be found out throughout the process. I don't have the ability to stop somebody through the civil procedure code that we use to stop them from doing anything. I can't. The order is meant to guide them and tell them you cannot or you can do these specific behaviors. But if they do it anyway, what's your remedy? At least here in civil land, which is where our divorce courts live, our remedy is to go ask the judge to do something about it.
All right. Now, what would you say to somebody who says, I really think my soon-to-be ex is hiding money?
It can be very, very tough. And I will lead by saying, there is a world that exists where we may not find every single dollar that your spouse has. And if they're not being truthful with their own lawyer, it makes the process prohibitively difficult to give a complete analysis of the full estate. Typically, I will tell that person, husband or wife, we have to do our due diligence. And the way that we do that, at least on the front end, is through the discovery process. Discovery is just the way that we exchange information about a case. In Texas, or at least in divorces in Texas, the most important thing, in my opinion, is what's called a request for production and inspection. I want to see tangible documents of really anything and everything that has to do with your case. for property, that could be things like credit card statements, bank statements. Here in 2024, it could be things like Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, cryptocurrency, anything that may have to do with money. I want to look at it. I need to find potentially years worth of statements so we can start putting that narrative together. Now, if you're a business owner or something to that effect, I may be asking for articles of incorporation, profit and loss statements, things like that. And once we have that information, we start to kind of put the puzzle together. Now, that may be your legal team. You may hire third-party experts like a forensic accountant to really dig into the weeds. As much as people think that they're clever, more often than not, they're not. You can find, with enough expert analysis, potentially leaks in the dam, if you would, so you can figure out, okay, while this opposing party may be telling their lawyer one thing, the documents are telling me something else.
Okay, that is such a good point. And then the person hiding money really looks bad in front of their lawyer, your spouse's lawyer. I mean, they're both lawyers, the judge. I mean, it's just bad, bad, bad. So don't hide money because they're going to find it anyway, whether it's the lawyer or the forensic accountant. And it's just not good.
Correct. And unfortunately, I typically tell the clients, if you're not the breadwinner and you believe your spouse is doing that, it's likely going to cost money to figure that answer out. And so you and your legal team need to have that frank conversation of, what do I think potentially may be out there? And is the juice worth the squeeze? Is it worth me going through a bunch of discovery, hiring these third-party experts to figure out what in fact is there? I tell folks all the time, don't spend a dime to chase a nickel. So figure out what you believe the community estate is, and then from there, adjust your potential strategy around that possible outcome.
All right. If I would be remiss if I did not mention the Divorce Money Guide. The Divorce Money Guide is a Divorce Girl Smiling trusted professional. Tracy Conan is a forensic accountant who developed this online tool. It's not expensive. And if you think your ex might be hiding money, it's a cheap investment to go try to find it yourself. And it's like a workbook that'll help you find the money. And if you do, you can then take it to your divorce attorney and explain what you found. Or maybe you'll say, oh, I was paranoid. He's not hiding money. So if you want to find out more, go to fraudcoach.com. And it's a wonderful tool. So with that said, Turner, I can't believe our time is up, but there's so many more questions that you put in this article with answers. It's such great information for somebody who's considering divorce or going through one. So thank you for that. And thank you for taking time to be on the podcast.
Absolutely, Jackie. I always have fun being on. Your website and your resources are wonderful. So I'd encourage anybody to look it up if you've got any questions, or you're welcome to find me online or find our firm online. We have a lot of online content as well.
Well, I can't say enough about you, Turner, and about Varghese Somerset Family Law Group. If people want to get in touch with Turner or learn more about Varghese Somerset, their website is familytexas.com. And you can also find them in the Trusted Professional section of Divorce Girl Smiling. And if you want to listen to more podcasts, read articles, or sign up for my free consult, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.